And that when I'm sitting there and I'm watching things that I shouldn't watch, that the Spirit of the living God has joined me, is in union with me, viewing these things. If Pastor so-and-so or Deacon so-and-so, if they came over to my house, man, I'd be shutting it down real quick. But the living God is right there. Have you thought about that? Have you meditated on that? And thank God that he is gracious and he is merciful and that he doesn't send a lightning bolt and zap us right there. Right? But he sees what we're doing. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Joseph. Sign Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Joseph.
That Joseph had to hear from an angel. All right? He had to hear from an angel. And now you know that the lady that basically you are married to, you just haven't consummated the marriage. You know that the lady that you're married to is carrying a child and is not yours. There's some deep thinking that's going on there. But the Lord appeared unto him. And I like what it says. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. The angel told him in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Look at this. And took his wife. And took unto him his wife. And knew her not till she had brought forth her first son and called his name Jesus. Look at the obedience of Joseph. I'm sure that maybe still somewhere in his mind, there was a little bit of doubt, right? There was still a little bit of doubt. But when you hear a word from the Lord, when you know God has shown up, and you know that God has spoken to you, what's that song say? Trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's all he could do. That's all he could do was trust and obey. And so I want to challenge us. You know, how many times does God call us to step out on faith? That God calls us to trust and obey. And we have the faith that Joseph had to say, "I don't understand." As a matter of fact, if you put up that next slide, you know, "I don't understand everything." And I'm sure asking this question, what is God doing? What in the world is God doing, right? God the Father chose a godly, faithful man to father Jesus on the earth and to be supportive, husband to Mary, even if he had questions, was confused, wondered if he was missing something somewhere, didn't have the whole picture, he didn't let it disrupt his obedience. Joseph did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. Do you think this brother, let me ask him a question. Do you think this brother had a clear mind on everything that was taking place? No, he didn't. Man, he was as confused as I heard one guy say, as a termite in a yo-yo. You know, but he's looking at this man and he's saying, wow. Yo, now you tell me, this is some deep thinking. Yo, this brother is plunged into some deep thinking. And then we fast forward to that night when he's holding Jesus in his arms and he's looking at the Christ child. And just think about some of the deep thoughts that he might have had. You know, we sang the song, Silent Night, right? Silent Night, Holy Night. On that holy night, what were some of the deep thoughts that he had? Do you think he thought back to the fact that, man, I was getting ready to divorce this lady, right? I was getting ready to let her go. I was getting ready to walk away from all this. Do you think he thought about that? He thought about the angel. Now let me ask you a question. If you're looking at a child that shows up, no father, and you're looking, and you're going to tell me you're just going to sit there and blah, 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 blah. Man, there's going to be some heavy thinking that's going on, right? There's going to be some heavy thinking. The angel that appeared, I'm sure he went back to that. Man, I sure am glad that I listened to that angel. You know, I've done that sometimes. Have you ever done this? Maybe I'm the only one that does this, right? That sometimes I go back and I thank Bill Glaze. I thank the 20-year-old Bill Glaze. You know why I thank him? Because he was wise enough to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Now I go back and I look at another Bill Glaze and I don't thank him. Right? I don't thank him because he just led down the road of foolishness. But I'm sure that Joseph might have went back and he said, man, I sure am glad that I listened to that angel. Sure am glad that I listened to him. And then when he read that this child would be the Messiah, that the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament, the law talked about him, the writings talked about him, history talked about him, the prophets talked about him, and now he has this Messiah lying right in front of him, able to pick him up and cuddle him in his arms. Wow. Man. That was some deep thinking. His decision to stay. Deep thinking. But then let's go on the other side of the ledger, where the song by Michael Card, right, that Peter read about when he was up here during the Advent moment, and he talked about some of the thoughts that Joseph must have had, right? And notice the joy of birth. How many parents are not joyful when they see the fruit of their loins come into the world? There's like joy. I remember Christmas Day that Angie was pregnant with Daniel. And he was supposed to come in November, right? But he didn't come. And so Christmas morning, you know, we're getting ready to get up and we're going to celebrate. And she said that it's time to go to the hospital. So we took Nicole, we dropped her off at our good friend, the McFarlands. And then you know, I took Angie to the hospital and I had to go sign some papers. And while I was there at the desk, you know, signing some papers and went up on the floor they told me she was at, and I was walking up on the floor, and here she was being rolled down the hallway with a brand new baby in her arms on Christmas Day, right? You're talking about somebody that had joy. You're talking about somebody that was ready to shout, right? That was a great Christmas present, right? A great Christmas present. And so, you know, there's something about the birth of a child, the joy that child brings. But then I like what the song that Michael Card wrote, some of the other things that Joseph might have thought. Man, my son, the Son of God, is cuddled in my arms. That this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. And then that, how can I, a mere man, a mortal, how can I raise the Son of God. Wow, that's some deep thinking. And then, how can a carpenter raise a king? Wow, some deep thoughts. So now I want to transition now because again, the title of our Advent series, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, right? Just, can you imagine just in the stillness of the night, right? And Jesus didn't cry, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No. I was going to say the perfect Son of God. Why would he cry? No, I'm just kidding. All right, just kidding. All right, but just in the quietness of the night, you know, maybe it was a moment where Jesus wasn't crying. He was just lying there still, and just all of the thoughts and all the thinking that was going on. Man, how powerful that night must have been. And you know the thing about it is that the world missed it. The world missed it. Even the innkeeper missed it, right? The people taking the census missed it. Most of the Jewish people missed it. Most of the Gentiles missed it. He just eased on in to this world, right? And the people that knew what was happening, man, it was just some deep pondering. And so I began to think, how can we transition? And the fact that this Messiah, this baby, brought us what? A great salvation. And so now I just want to look at some of the things and ask us the question, do we meditate on this great salvation that was brought to us? Have you ever just stopped to think about what you have in Christ? You know, a lot of times, you know, we sing about the fact that we're saved and that's about it. And we don't think about all the things that babe, when he came, that he brought into this world. He brought into this world justification, right? Justification. What is justification? Man, have you ever meditated? That's what I'm talking about. Some of the old theologians used to go deep and meditate on some of these truths that I'm sharing with you right now. Justification. And that is the act by which God declares man to be righteous based upon his belief in Jesus for salvation. That you are wrong with God, that you were condemned, that the judge brought down the gavel and hit the stand and said that you are condemned. But when Christ died on the cross and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that at that point you became justified. I was reading a story the other day about three black teenagers that were accused of a crime. 36 years ago, and just recently, they found them innocent and let them out. Wow. You know, to be guilty all those years, and I'm sure, you know, and you know the sad thing that I heard, and I hope somebody like Tyler Perry or somebody comes to help them out. But one of the things that I heard was that there's no compensation for all those years that they spent incarcerated. But can you imagine how it must have been when somebody declared them innocent? Well, what is that? That's justification. The thing about it, those guys were innocent, but every last one of us are guilty. Every last one of us are guilty because we are sinners by birth and we are sinners by choice. And we are guilty. And what does God do? He sends Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and now he declares us righteous. That's justification. I like regeneration. And what is regeneration? See, you didn't know all this happened to you when you got saved, right? That when that little baby was lying in that manger, when all these deep thoughts were going on, you didn't know that you were being regenerated when you accepted him. And what is regeneration? It's the impartation of a new nature to the believer. I looked at my hands looked new. I looked at my feet, and they did too. Why? Because of the new nature that I have received, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. I've shared my testimony, and when Pastor Glaze goes on to glory, y'all going to remember some of the things that I said. Right? You're going to remember some of the things that I said. But I told you how that I had one of the filthiest mouths in the world. You know, so filthy, man, I had memorized all Richard Pryor's albums. I'm going to tell you another one. See, now, some of y'all are going to be hip to this. I memorized The Signifying Monkey by Dolemite. So now, I don't know if any of y'all went to see Dolemite. If you are, we got your picture. All right, so if you want to see Dolemite, Rudy Ray Moore, and you just think about everything that happened probably in his movie, right? That was Pastor Glaze. And the minute that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, the minute I accepted Christ, he gave me a new nature. Old things were passed away. And the first thing that God cleaned up on me was my tongue. Thank God, that babe in the manger. And you know, I think about that sometimes. I think about, man, the person that I used to be, I meditate on that. I muse on that. And I'm filled with thanksgiving that God has delivered me from that way of transgression. The third thing is reconciliation. This means that the relationship between God and man and woman has been changed from enemies to friends. You know, Paul said that you were enemies with God. You were at enmity with God. Oh, no, I wasn't, man. I went to Sunday school and, you know, I tried to buy Girl Scout cookies and help ladies across the street. I tried to do all that kind of stuff, right? You are still God's enemy. You were an enemy with God. No matter how sweet or matter how cute, that little baby that's lying there in that hospital, in that maternity ward, is at enmity with God. Now, Jesus loves them, and I believe that if that child dies, that they go to be with the Lord. But the fact is that child is at enmity with God. And all of us, at some point, you know, we kind of shook our fist in God's face and said, get your hands off of me. Let me do my own thing. You say, well, Pastor Glaze, I grew up in the church. So you were this nice saint that always complied with God's will, right? Like every step of the way. No, there were times that we resisted. And so what did God do? God sends Jesus Christ, and he breaks down the middle wall so that we are no longer enemies, but we are friends with God. I like the song that says, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Adoption. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, he said, you are of your father the devil. Now, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Man, don't tell me that the devil was my father. I don't want to hear that. But let me ask you this. John 1:12. But as many as received him. Watch this now. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. How do you become a child of God? How do you become a child of God? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. So whose child was I before that? I wasn't a child of God before that. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. That I was a child of the devil, right? Two kingdoms. Thank God that now I've been placed in the family of God. I've been adopted. And you know, when you think of, have you ever really thought about what it was before you came to Christ? You know, whose family you were in before you came to Christ? And I'm not talking about your blood family. I'm talking about whose kingdom were you in before you came? And now to think, wow, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness. I've been taken out of that kingdom of darkness, and I've been brought into the kingdom of light. That's something to think about. That's heavy. That's something to meditate on. If you go to the next three, union with Christ. Christ living in us and us being in the body of Christ. That we are in union with Christ. And that as I live my life, that the Spirit of God lives in me. So that where I go now, do you think about this? that where you go now, that the Spirit of the living God is in you. You are in union with Christ. And that when I'm sitting there and I'm watching things that I shouldn't watch, that the Spirit of the living God has joined me, is in union with me, viewing these things. If Pastor so-and-so or Deacon so-and-so, if they came over to my house, man, I'd be shutting it down real quick. But the living God is right there. Have you thought about that? Have you meditated on that? And thank God that he is gracious and he is merciful and that he doesn't send a lightning bolt and zap us right there. Right? But he sees what we're doing. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Sanctification. Oh, I love sanctification. Sanctification is the ongoing earthly process whereby the believer is set apart for God and being cleansed from sin. That you are sanctified. Did you know that? Have you ever really sat down and meditated and thought about what it means to be sanctified? I think that we've let certain religions scare us away from this word sanctification, right? What this sanctification means, that you've been set apart for God. Like those vessels in the Old Testament in the temple, they were set apart from God. You've been set apart for the holy God. And yet and still, you know, we allow sin to live in our lives, right? We're in the church, but we let sin live in our lives. It's like I told y'all the story before about the church that was having a revival. And this church was having a revival, and it was on Halloween night, right? And it started raining, and it started thundering, and it started lightning outside. And there was a guy dressed up like the devil, and he was walking down the street, and he was trying to get out of the rain. And as he was trying to get out of the rain, he saw this church having revival, and he walked in. And the pastor was preaching, and he stopped, and his eyes got big, and then everybody turned around, and the devil started walking down the aisle, and people started scattering everywhere, right? And one lady tried to get away, and she got her skirt caught on one of the pews, and the devil was walking toward her, and she said, "I just want to let you know I've been in the church the whole time, but I've been serving you all the way." Right? Sanctification. Sanctification means that you've been set apart for God. And then perseverance. It means that the God who saved you is able to keep you. The God who saved you is able to keep you. Ponder. This Christmas, why don't you ponder, meditate, think deeply on these things. And then as I close, the gift, I love this. The gift that keeps on giving. Wow. Wow. The gift that keeps on giving. Justification, regeneration, reconciliation, adoption, union with Christ, sanctification, perseverance. The gift that keeps on giving. Father, we thank you for the deep thoughts of Joseph. And Lord, how that should lead us to have deep thoughts about this great salvation that you have provided for us. And so, Lord, I ask now if there's someone here that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and this is your desire for them today, that as we give the invitation that they might come. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that's looking for a place to fellowship. They're looking for a church home, and this is where you would have them to be. As we give the invitation, Lord, we invite them to come. We commit this to you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored Enough of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, The Shepherds. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Joseph, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Joseph. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Joseph. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.